Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. So we want to, cover the information in week six, but before we begin, I want to hear about any of the challenges that you have thus far in implementing the concepts that we've been kind of learning, and are there any specific questions that we need to try to address? So why don't you feel free to just kind of speak freely and alert me, because I know we're going through, quite a bit of material here each week. So why don't you, make me aware of any questions that you may have? Chris, you've got any questions?
No, I'm good at this time.
Okay. Ira?
Well, I'm just having a tough time with this concept of the folders. I mean, I'm a big believer in communication with the client. I like the schedule system.
Right.
But we keep records on our system on a regular basis, anytime we have a meeting, a phone call, whatever, and I think it works. I mean,
Are
I
you
can't.
using a system, electronic kind of folder system?
We are, as opposed to the physical folders, and I think it works. I mean, we've been using this for a while. I think it makes sense. I'm not sure. I just buy the physical folder system.
Sure. Well, there's the, a person can use technology. We do believe in high tech, high touch. So, it's okay to, if you've got the contents ready, and you're organized in such a way that can work.
Well, why is that not a good idea? See, I guess I don't get why that's not a good idea.
Why it's not a good idea to have the technology, or why it's not a good idea to have the
No, I
folders.
mean, I think the idea is to be sure that everybody has access to what's taken place previously, so that the team is in on whatever has been happening ongoing. But it seems to
Right.
be working. So to try to create something new from something that's already working, I'm just not sure if it makes sense for us.
Yeah, here's the thing, Ira, and you know this, is that we could continue to move along and not change anything. Okay? Keep everything the way it is, but there's some nuances and some things that really make the program effective. Number one, when you walk into a lawyer's office or a dentist's office, what they'll generally do is they'll pull out a folder, and it'll have notes, correspondence, that go both ways inside that folder, easy to track, along with call agendas. Now, once we start getting into call topics, sending out executive summaries on calls, where do you put that information as an example?
Same place.
What's that now?
Same place. I mean, it's in our, it's in our client's file.
Okay. So you've been placing the information in the client file. Okay. And that's fine. If it's
It's
working.
working. It's working. I mean, it seems like I'm not sure there's, I mean, why do something different if what we're doing is working?
Okay. So if it's working, I'm all for it. I feel obligated to kind of teach you the concept so that you can really determine if you want to change any aspects of the way you've been doing things. So if you are satisfied that all of the contents and the elements that go inside the folder are at your fingertips via technology, we're fine with that. Okay? If some of you feel that your clients, and the other part of the folder is the client receives a folder as well. if you keep your personal folders for the client online, okay, fine. Now, the clients are going to need to have some method of keeping track of the information that's sent to them. And so the clients receive a folder. The COIs receive a folder. And also the prospects receive a folder. Now, those are the folder categories. And if you're working with a nonprofit, they have a folder. And if you are able to keep track and log all the information via technology where it can be widely shared with all of your teammates, then fine. You know, some folks are using Salesforce and other variety of CRM tools, for the process. We are finding, though, that the simple folder in terms of access, seems to work for the large majority of advisors that we work with. Okay?
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Say we were using the paper folder system. If a client calls and Ira has them locked in his desk for the clients he's seeing, I can't access those if a client just calls in. Do we tell the client, well, we can't get to your information right now. Can we call you back tomorrow?
Okay. So
give the client the
that's a good question. That's a good question. And number one, the clients generally speaking, once they're on a regular call schedule, they don't call in. That's number one. Number two is that the folders should be placed in a central place where, you know, there's access. Okay? So that has to happen. Now, on the clients that Ira feels he's responsible for, and let's just say his top 100, he is the primary relationship manager on those accounts. Now, the individual on the team that's responsible for planning may want to retrieve that folder as they implement and execute on the financial plan for the client, okay? So, but that's a secondary or tertiary relationship. So each of you are primary relationship managers on a number of households. So you would keep the folders in a central place. However, the day before the client scheduled calls take place, those folders should be retrieved and placed on the credenza of the financial advisor. And so that the financial advisor can pull the folder, kind of get familiar with the status of the client. Maybe it was a recent executive summary that went out that talked about what you agreed to, what some of the next steps were, maybe insurance policies were to be brought in, or you needed some updated information for accounts for the children, what have you. So that's how the folder system, you know, works. So what we'll do is we'll go through the system, learn it and understand it appropriately, and then you have to make the determination if you're going to have widespread implementation or partial implementation of the folder system.
So, Curtis, let me ask you something. So today,
okay,
this morning, I've had three calls from top 100 clients. They each one had a separate concern. It had nothing to do with, you know, just the ongoing management of the account. They just had a concern. They wanted a chat.
Okay.
Shouldn't I talk to them?
Well, yeah, of course you've got to.
But this happens all the time, Curtis. This happened this morning. At three calls, three people actually live outside the area, but they call when they have a concern, and this happens with frequency. So I mean, as much as you want to plan something, your plan is just not going to be the way it's going to be all the time. And if I'm not here and these people call, I'd sure like somebody else to be able to deal with them when they call, as opposed to having them wait to handle their concern.
Right. So, as an example, can you give me an example of one of the concerns that the client had today?
Yeah, so a lady called from Cambria. She owns some Johnson & Johnson, and she's hearing about, you know, these lawsuits that Johnson & Johnson is dealing with, and just felt uncomfortable continuing to hold her position. She wanted me to sell them, and I did.
Okay. So here's what I would say to that. Prior to Supernova, the clients are not on a scheduled call basis, I would assume.
No, but that's not the case. I mean, in fact, this particular couple, I talked to the lady, but this particular couple lives over in Cambria, and I go see them three or four times a year with a number of other clients I have over in Cambria. It's about a two-hour drive from here. They're on a pretty good schedule, not a rigid schedule, but an approximate schedule, and I see them three or four times a year.
Right. So under the Supernova process, with the 12 scheduled calls, four appointments, two of them being reviews, clients should be up to speed on their portfolios, the rebalancing, the questions and concerns that come up. And what happens is, generally speaking, is those concerns are noted, they note them in their folder, and they save them for the upcoming call.
Curtis, that's not right. Today, the news was Johnson & Johnson. It concerned her. She's not going to wait for 2 months to raise the question when it's bothering her today.
No, I'm not saying that. I said, generally speaking, you know, that's what happens. Now, you're going to have an audible, just like in football, where, you know, you client calls, and what do we say? 1 hour response to problems, 24-hour resolution. You're going to have some of that within your practice. And it does happen on a frequent enough basis. But what we're talking about here is that part of the schedule that is not controlled, where people just, they call all the time, they want to chat. And so who's going to control the schedule? And that's really the whole point about process and organization. It's not that you aren't going to take a call when a call comes in, because part of the process is 12 contacts, 4 appointments, 2 reviews, 1 hour response to problems. So when they do call in, that is a definite problem, and you have to take the call.
But this is frequent. This happens frequently. I had three this morning on issues that were just not going to wait, and they're important.
Right.
If I wasn't here, somebody else would take them, would need to be able to have access to, you know, to the file.
Right.
Okay.
So if everything is, generally speaking, with technology, you can go right in and see the client's portfolio. You can see the number of shares that they have. But some of the nuances in terms of conversation, if you're documenting it online, then fine. So we're not saying you can't do it. We're just saying, hey, here's another methodology that we use. That makes sense?
No, it makes sense. But again, what we're doing is working. So, and it's working well. So I like the idea. I mean, I think the ongoing communication makes total sense with regularity. But I'm not sure changing from what's working to something else that may or may not be working, it makes sense for us.
Okay. All right. So if you are documenting the information that should be going into the folder and you have an easy way of retrieving it, then that's fine.
We're meticulous, Curtis.
What's that now? Okay. Okay. And
on this.
Yeah, did somebody else have a comment?
You have a comment?
Yeah, so this is Frank.
Okay, Frank.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So you had, I guess that, you know, this firm did spend an enormous amount on CRM, so we do, I think we have a pretty state-of-the-art system, but so data duplication is always bad whenever you're entering information on the same, and say the same information being entered in multiple locations, which to me, we are under this ART review system. Are you familiar with that?
Not really familiar with it, but the one thing I do know about a lot of the technology development, it's attached to legacy systems where you're entering client data in multiple places. New account forms don't translate over to the financial planning forms, so on and so forth.
By the way, my doctor uses a tablet.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who you're going to. But,
okay, well.
Most of the doctors, you know, these days, I've got a lot of doctors because I've got some serious problems, okay?
Okay.
But you know, you probably don't have to say okay to that. So, you know, they're all using tablets or some kind of technology because they manage a lot of patients, and there isn't any possible way everybody on the staff could have access to that information if it was just on a piece of paper, okay? So we manage information. That's our only inventory, right? So in order to efficiently do that, you kind of have to make use of state-of-the-art tools. So so we're required to do these ART reviews, A-R-T.
Right.
We get pleasant reminders about this on a regular basis. Ira loves this stuff, okay?
I do.
And so they force us into the process of documentation of the communications and things that are going on, you know, with clients. And so that means that you're entering notes on the CRM whether you want to or not, but what ends up happening really is that most of the interactions with clients really, I think, belong on the notes on the CRM so that everybody on the team can see that because everybody's got access to it. But you avoid the potential then that you enter information one place, but it never got put onto a folder, okay? So, because you're now keeping track of, by using folders and written paper, you know, you are now running the risk of documenting something in one location but not on another one. And let's face it, documentation we don't get paid for, right? Because you're not talking to somebody or doing something productive. You're writing something. So I personally want to reduce as much as I possibly can the time I spend with the documentation process. It already seems overwhelming in some way.
Oh, look, I'm probably as much of a techie as anybody when it comes to technology. So what I would suggest is that if you have a system that you're using where you can keep track of your client calls and client information and it's easy to retrieve, then use it.
How do you feel about keeping a folder for social networking? Just curious.
Keeping a folder for social networking?
I'd like to hear your comments on that.
The folder for we have a social media kind of conversation that takes place in the client acquisition phase, and what we do is we look at what comes out of social connections, which is a prospect. And in that regard, we talk about what's called a 90-day free look, where they get an opportunity to be treated as if they were a client and then converted. So social media isn't about the folder. It's about, you know, how do you extract a client relationship from social media, and then how do you keep track of the prospect? Okay? So keeping track of the prospect so that they don't fall through the cracks, they get put on a regular call schedule and get treated like a client until they convert. So we're jumping a little bit ahead, but suffice it to say, we believe in a folder for prospects, but if you want to use your CRM tool for that purpose, we're okay with it.
Yeah, well, we've got to have a way to communicate on a, you know, I mean, it doesn't do me any good really to have names in a folder if they're not in my email list or an Excel spreadsheet or something where I can quickly get material out to them. I have to have them accessible in electronic format. Whether I have a folder or not, I can't email anybody, okay, with names in a folder. So,
well, keep in mind, it's not names in a folder. It's everyone. And let me respond to the question that was brought up.
That wasn't a question, it was a statement. I have another question, though.
Okay.
All right. Chapter 14.
Okay.
It took me an hour to read this book, okay?
Okay.
To get a sense for what this was all about. So, financial advisors' folders, social networking. Okay, you're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you actually suggest in here, I don't know, did you write this book?
No, I didn't write the book,
okay.
No.
Okay, so in this book, page 108, part of the process is financial advisors' folders, social networking. So in this folder, which I assume is a paper folder, I don't know, but you're keeping track of things like posts from centers of influence, introductions given and received, list of LinkedIn groups. Do you use LinkedIn?
Yes.
Okay. How many posts right now do you know of, or do you have you documented from your centers of influence in a separate place other than on LinkedIn?
No, I don't document that in a separate place.
You don't have a folder then for that?
No, I would have a folder for prospects from LinkedIn that I want to follow up on, that I want to communicate with, where I can print emails sent, that sort of thing.
So this is misleading then for what it says is in here, that you keep a folder for social networking. That's what the section is. I mean, it's in page 108.
Right.
Where you're supposed to keep track of your introductions given and received, list of LinkedIn groups, and so on, that you keep track of on a written basis, I guess. And that's
right.
The way I read that, that's what the suggestion is. So,
yeah.
Is that not what it means?
I would just suggest this, that under the folder system, anyone that would potentially be a prospect, okay, would get a folder. You would keep a folder on that individual, which would then be logged into the scheduler so that the contact doesn't fall through the cracks. Okay? Because that's ultimately what we're talking about. Now, there's some things we need to get to before we get to that. So I'm going to just beg your indulgence to kind of hold off. But your centers of influence, how you track them, how they get on a call schedule, discussions, executive summaries with them are all logged in a folder Or if you're using your CRM tool, you can log them in your CRM. Notes. The last time we spoke, you were going to do this. You were going to personally introduce me to so-and-so. We were going to try to arrange a breakfast meeting so that the referral or the prospect never falls through the cracks. So that's the whole purpose of it. Are you with me there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So all a folder really is a means of tracking, logging, meaningful conversations with clients and prospects. A prospect could be a personal introduction. They could be centers of influence. They could be board members on a nonprofit that you are attempting to reach. But there's some methodology to keep track of those folks so that they don't fall through the cracks. Okay, so here we are. The 30-minute time frame has passed, and it's okay for you to chime in on things that you you know, have questions about. What I'd like to do is just spend 10 minutes talking about some of the concepts on week 6. So we're going to run over for about 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So let's look at the material for week number 6. And I want to pay particular attention to general agendas and call topics. One of the things that we like to do is have you establish a 24-month call topic for clients. And in the manual, you may have seen some months where you talk about some general things. Full year outlooks, maybe February was annuity reviews, March is follow-up, April you might be talking about IRA contributions, Roth tax questions, May might be long-term care. Now, these are topics that normally you wouldn't get a chance to address in your practice, okay? They're not the transactional kinds of topics. Some of them, when you look at life insurance reviews or rebalancing portfolios, that sort of thing is going to come up naturally. So what we're suggesting then is that the person who's responsible for sales and marketing chat with you about agendas that might make sense for your practice. Okay. Now, who's head of sales and marketing? Who's got responsibility for that?
That would be me.
Garrett.
Is that Chris?
Garrett.
Oh, Garrett. Okay. So certain things come out of financial plans and are meaningful that may not get addressed on a regular basis. So let's take the month of April that's coming up. Or let's take March. What agenda focus is the team have right now for March? What's the central theme for the month?
Typically every year, March is taxes and IRA contributions before everyone files.
Okay. So great. Great topic. You're going to probably chat with most clients about that particular topic. Now, as you look at April, what would be your April topic? Have you thought about it? Strategized with the group?
No, I'm not.
That's the question. Okay. So what we're asking you to think about is setting out your agendas And the rationale for this is sometimes clients do not know the other items in your repertoire of skills and expertise that might be handled by another member of the team. Okay? So that's the rationale for these agendas. Okay? Have any of you discussed long-term care with your clients as a topic?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked with clients about long-term care and have some clients that have some, but it's more as we're doing portfolio reviews or planning that comes up.
Okay. So all we're suggesting then is that you take your agenda items, formalize them so that you're educating the client, but you might not necessarily get the order, but you've got that agenda of discussions that come up. So clients don't say, I don't know that you did that, or I did that business with somebody else. So we're trying to make sure that you're doing the deep dive and getting the penetration of the client wallet in that regard. Okay? So that's the main takeaway that you should really get from this section, is that you want to start developing and strategizing what your topics might be during the month of April. Now, you might be rebalancing portfolios, and you might be doing reviews, but you're going to have one central theme that gives you a little bit of focus for that particular month, okay? So that would be an assignment of something to try to do, try to accomplish. Okay. All right. So the other thing that comes up in this six-week session is scheduling issues. Okay, clients live all over the country. They live in different parts of the state. And in Supernova, most of the referrals actually happen, you know, in person. So if a client misses an appointment, you leave a message, sorry, if you need anything, please call back and reschedule. Otherwise, I'll call you next month on a regularly scheduled time and date. And I hope it wasn't an emergency. So you're educating the client on the expectations. Now, sometimes you might have an emergency, you may be out of the office, you may have to cancel your appointment or review and reschedule. And so you need to utilize other members of the team when you think that that's appropriate. Okay. So a couple of other things. On the delegation of duties and responsibilities that we discussed last time, I think you all have that pretty much under control. Just begin to start to think about your agendas and kind of the contents of what should go in your CRM tool, if that's your preference, your notes section, your meeting agendas, your investment ideas, your recommended portfolio changes, referrals received, thank you responses, okay? So if you're going to do that via technology, that's fine. So you would have sections within your CRM tool, and then you would have those folks that are COIs. Not all COIs are clients, by the way. Most may be, but there are folks that are just happy being a center of influence and sharing new relationships with you. Okay. So what is the right number of prospects that you should have within the pipeline? That should be somewhere around 90. And this is where you're going to spend maybe half your day focusing in on those targeted relationships that meet your criteria. So you're focused in on prospects that are within your target minimum. All right. I think that's really it. I want to close with any last-minute questions that you might have in terms of any of the materials for week number 6.
I think we're good there, Curtis.
Okay. So high-tech, high-touch, you've got room in your CRM tools to make all the notes and move forward.
Yep.
So
yep.
In week number 7, we're going to move toward discussing the enthusiastically endorsed model. Okay? All right. Thank you so much for the time spent today, and have a great rest of your week.
All right. Thank you.
You
too, Curtis.
All righty. Bye-bye.